Now I saw that as they continued their journey, they talked a little about this and a little about that until Mr. Honest brought up the name of one Mr. Self-Will.
Self-Will, you say? I have heard say that he set out on pilgrimage. But do tell, did he ever make it to the city?
To the city? Oh, he never even came up to the Wicked Gate.
What? And why not?
He said he'd gotten a special pass through Beelzebub's garden that spared him the trouble.
Why, I've never heard of such a thing. How did he dare?
Self-Will was his name, and self-willed was his heart. He feared not God or man, and would not learn from reason or example. Whatsoever his mind prompted him to do, that he would do, and nothing besides.
Relate some of your discussions with him.
Well, I remember the first one. It went thus.
Ho there, whither bound?
To the Celestial City.
Indeed, well, so am I.
Good. Then I shall be glad of your company.
How has your journey gone thus far?
Oh, I'm not so quick of wit as some, so I must be more cautious than most. But I am making fair progress, and trust to attain the kingdom if I am faithful to the end. And you?
Oh, delightful. Simply delightful. I have met some of the most charming people on this way.
Indeed. Whom, for example?
Well, there was that merry young wench that lives back yonder.
A pilgrim?
Well, I think so. Well, no, actually, probably not. She dwells along the roadside and comes out to greet those men who are lonesome from traveling alone.
Oh, you mean Madame Wanton's daughter? The one that was near to beguile Faithful in his journey?
Near to beguile? Do you mean he did resist her?
Of course. He played the part of Joseph and gave her the back.
Well, it was a loss on his part, I can assure you.
And thou?
Well, I paused for a short time.
What?
Aye. Though she was a strange woman, her lips dropped words sweet as honey, and her mouth was smoother than oil.
Have you not read that her feet go down to death, and her steps take hold on hell?
Bah! What does Solomon know about women?
And what price did she ask for her company?
Ha ha ha! She asked for my certificate.
Why the nerve? She asked for thy very life thereby.
Perhaps, but it did her no good.
Then you did not give it to her.
Of course not.
Oh.
Because I had none to give. Instead, I gave her my birthright.
What? Thy birthright?
Aye.
Thou didst play the fool.
Nay, it was nothing to me.
Like Esau.
He ended up rich enough without his, and I am rich enough without mine. Besides, I can redeem it with a kid from the flock when I come to where the shepherds are.
But thou hast neither certificate nor birthright. How thinkest thou to be let in at the gate?
I just believe, that's all.
It soundeth like an opinion born of ignorance, if thou ask me.
Which I did not.
But back to the harlot. How could you go into another man's wife, seeing that thou art a pilgrim? Such things may not be done.
Indeed they may.
Nay.
Yea. And I have scripture for it.
Which?
Did not David take Bathsheba? And did not scripture call him God's beloved?
He was not God's beloved during that slip into sin. And he did suffer for the rest of his life because of it.
Bah! So long as we have the virtues of a godly man, we may also enjoy his vices.
What?
Indeed. Read of it in scripture, if you will. Personally, I have several wives in various cities because I follow the example of Solomon. Moreover, I can do well in business because, like Sarah and Rahab, I can tell a small lie when it is to my profit.
This is too much.
Ha ha, there is more.
No!
Yes, listen to this one. Jesus sent his disciples to take an ass that was not his and Therefore, I, from time to time, have made my journey easier by doing the same. Can you beat that one?
Dear sir, I...
Furthermore, as Jacob got his inheritance by lies in disguise, so did I.
What?
Yay. And a blessing it has been to me. Yes, a blessing indeed.
Are you saying that a Christian may freely engage in all the vices you have mentioned?
Nay. Not just anyone. Only those who also have the virtues that I have mentioned. David and Solomon, Sarah and Rahab, Jacob and the disciples all had many virtues among them. If you emulate their virtues, then God winketh if you slip into a few of their vices.
And dost thou truly believe this?
Yea, of a certain...
I...
Why lookest thou so surprised? Surely thou hast seen other pilgrims stumble and fall?
Yes, of a truth. And to stumble into sin because of sudden temptation or carelessness is an evil thing that needeth to be repented of. But to choose to sin, as thou doest, is many times the worst.
Bah! Thou livest in a dream.
Do you mean that because a child happens to fall into the mud by accident, that you may follow her example and wallow in the mire like a sow, and yet be as guiltless as she?
I'm not sure I follow thy reasoning. But I suppose few people can, since thou comest from such a dull place as stupidity. But all that aside, I'll wager that if you take a poll of so-called pilgrims, you will find that most agree with me.
That I doubt. And if they do, they certainly never speak of it.
Because they are not so honest as I. But if thou shouldest look into their secret lives, you would discover that they teach by act what I preach by word.
Sir... I truly hope not.
'Tis verily true. The only difference is that I hide not my beliefs. Therefore is my virtue ahead of most of them. In fact, if there were not so many interesting diversions along the way, I should have been in the Celestial City long before this.
What? Puttest thou off thy salvation?
Salvation, smalvation. There is no hurry.
Well... I may not be so bright as thou, but because I travel on this way slower than most, I have seen many things that others do not perceive.
Like what?
I have seen some begin their pilgrimage in all health and strength, who have died a few days into their pilgrimage.
Interesting.
I have seen others begin with such weakness of mind and body as would make you think they would never pass the wicket gate. Yet these have gone on from victory to greater victory and have entered the city more than conquerors.
Fascinating. Simply fascinating.
I have seen some start out as a runner from the blocks, whom I later saw running just as fast the opposite way.
And what is the point of all of this?
Hear me out.
Yes.
Some have begun by speaking very highly of the pilgrim's life, only to end by cursing it. Some have begun by singing the praises of paradise, only to end by declaring of a surety that there is no such place.
Oh, weary. How did I ever?
What?
Oh, carry on. Do go on.
I have heard some boast of what they would do when they met danger, only to flee back at its mere mention.
What doth all this tell me?
It doth show what thine end shall be.
Dear Mr. Honest, please, spare me thy lecture. I feel sure that I shall end my journey at the same place as thou. And if I arrive there a few years later than thee, what does it matter in eternity? And now I shall cross over this little bridge and refresh myself.
And what lies over said bridge?
Knowest thou one named Bubble?
Nay.
Well, if thou hadst enough strength of virtue, I would tell thee of her. But I see thou hast no reserves of righteousness, and therefore canst not risk a little vice. Therefore, adieu. See thee in the kingdom.
And that, my dear great heart, was the last I have seen of him.
Aye, And I trow we shall never hear of him again.
Unless we chance to come upon his bones farther up the way.
Christiana then wished for an inn for herself and her children, because they were weary. Then said Mr. Honest,
An inn, you say? There is one a little before us, where a very honorable disciple, one Gaius, dwells. Let us turn in thither.
And so they entered in and called for the master of the house and asked if they might lie there that night.
A room, you say?
Aye, several.
My house is only for pilgrims.
Did you hear, Mercy? This man loveth pilgrims.
Yea, and I am glad to hear it.
Then show us to our rooms, for pilgrims we are.
Good, good. Come, I'll show you the way.
So they showed them to their rooms, one for the young men, one for Christiana and Mercy, and another for Mr. Greatheart and the old gentleman.
Mercy?
Yes, Matthew?
May I carry your bag to your room for you?
Oh, it's not very heavy. I can.
Mercy?
What?
Let him carry it for thee.
Matthew?
Yes?
Thank you for your kind offer. I would love to have you carry my baggage for me.
Yes, Miss Mercy. Thank you.
Would you look at that? Like a sheep to the slaughter.
Aye. I fear we shall lose him ere long.
Indeed.
While the pilgrims settle in their rooms, good Gaius, pray tell, what canst thou prepare for supper? For these pilgrims have come far today and are weary.
Tis too late to go out to the gardens and orchards, but such as we have in stock you may freely have.
Then he went down and spake to the cook, whose name was Taste That Which Is Good. He told him to get ready supper for 8 pilgrims. This done, he came up again, saying,
Attention, attention, calling all pilgrims.
Yes, yes.
You called, sir?
Is supper ready so soon?
Soon, soon. I just want to say, my good friends, that you're all welcome to me, and I'm thankful that God hath given me a house wherein to entertain strangers. For all I know, I may have entertained angels unaware.
Not in this case, I'll guarantee.
Hey, why did you say that?
Why not? There's no angels here.
Mercy is.
Only in your eyes.
Why don't you just marry her so you can get your thoughts back on other things?
Well, if I could...
What are you boys whispering about so rudely?
Oh, just... nothing much.
Please listen to our host. He was trying to say something to us.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes. While supper is making ready, if it please thee, let us entertain one another with some good discourse.
What a wonderful idea.
Aye, come, everyone.
Matthew, would you like to sit over here near Mercy and I?
I...
Go on, chicken heart. Angels don't bite.
I...
Well?
Coming, Mother. Good evening, Miss Mercy.
Good evening, Matthew.
Greatheart, whose wife is this older woman, and whose daughter is this fair damsel?
The woman is the wife of one Christian.
Oh, pilgrim?
Aye. These young men are his children, although they were but lads when we began our journey.
And the maid?
An acquaintance, whom Christiana hath persuaded to join her on pilgrimage. The young men all take after their father, and covet to tread in his steps. Yea, if they but chance to see any place where the old pilgrim hath left a print of his foot, they all try to walk in the same place.
I'm surprised they did not accompany him in his journey.
They would have eagerly done so, but the woman was of a doubting heart and hindered them.
At least she hath decided to redeem the time.
Aye, and a brave pilgrim she hath proved to be. We have conquered already 2 great giants that most other pilgrims are content merely to escape from.
The giants, you say? I shall speak to thee more on giants later. Madam, art thou indeed Christian's wife?
Yes, sir.
And are these his sons?
Yes, sir.
I knew your husband's father.
Indeed?
Yea, also his father's father. Many great men have arisen from his family. Their ancestors dwelt first at Antioch and have showed themselves men of great virtue and courage.
Oh, it doth our hearts good to hear these things. Does it not, boys?
Yes, but do say more, good sir.
They were especially courageous in the service of the Lord of pilgrims and in behalf of them that loved him. Some of your husband's ancestors have withstood all manner of trials and tortures for the sake of truth.
Do you know their names, sir?
Oh, there was Stephen, the deacon, who was knocked on the head with stones. James, a near relative, was slain with the edge of the sword.
These great ones are among our ancestors?
Aye. To say nothing of Paul and Peter, men anciently of that family whence your father came.
Matthew?
Yes?
You must be so proud to have such brave ancestors.
Yes. Yes, I am.
Perhaps they will one day be thy children's ancestors as well, Mercy.
Huh?
Tell us of some others. Yes, do, for we are desiring to be like them.
They were all of them a brave tribe. There was Ignatius, who was cast to the lions. There was Pominus, whose flesh was cut by pieces from his bones, and Polycarp, that played the man in the fire. There was he that was hanged up in a basket in the sun for the wasps to eat, and he whom they put into a sack and cast into the sea to be drowned. It would be utterly impossible to count up all of the family who have suffered injuries and death for the love of a pilgrim's life. Nor can I but be glad to see that thy husband has left behind him for such men as these.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, we are grateful for thy kind words.
I hope you will all bear out your father's name, tread in your father's steps, and come to your father's end.
If I may say so, they are already brave lads who have chosen to follow in their father's ways.
Good, good.
Take young James there. When he first started out, he was but a child. Yet, when these women were accosted by two vile ones, little James did latch into one of their legs and bite him a good one.
I did? Don't you remember? The villain verily thought a mastiff had latched onto him.
Well, if you were so brave then, what are you by now? Phoebe?
Father?
Come sit here next to this, my friend James.
Yes, sir.
I want you to pay special attention to this young warrior. Make sure that he gets plenty to eat and drink. It may be that here lies a solution to our little problem.
Yes, Father. Good evening, James.
Good evening, Phoebe.
Christiana?
Sir?
May I have private words with thee?
Of course, sir.
Come over here by the fire. Tell me, what plans have you for increasing your husband's seed upon the earth?
None in particular.
Through sand.
Although, as you can see, my eldest son has a few stars in his eyes.
Good. It is as God would have it. Fine family such as this must not be allowed to die out. Yea, to increase such a fine stock would be a service both to thy God and to the people of the earth, who would be blessed by their lives. Think on these things.
Yes, sir.
Now, I have a daughter, Phoebe.
The one sitting with James?
Yes, you might consider...
I already have. Tis a pity that thou hast only one daughter.
Tis a cross that I must bear, I suppose, but she hath been a great joy to her mother and I.
He's very kind.
Then may I consider the match settled?
If they can love each other, it is fine by me.
If they can love each other? Look at them.
Yes, I'm very happy here. Very content.
I see what you mean. Yes, then the match is settled.
Good. I shall announce their engagement. Attention!
Wait. Now?
Is there any time like the present?
Dear Gaius, let them at least come up with the idea themselves.
Why?
Why? Hast thou no sense of romance about thee?
Romance? This is duty, woman.
No matter. Let the flower of love blossom in its own time, and the fragrance will be all the sweeter.
If not now, when?
I shall tell thee when.
How will you know?
Dear Mr. Gaius, I am a woman.
Well, and sit me down, for my nose tells me that supper is on its way.
Now the cook sent up to signify that supper was almost ready, and sent one to lay the cloth and set the table with dishes, utensils, bread, and salt.
The sight of these settings stirreth up my appetite.
Aye, and mine as well.
There is a spiritual lesson here.
Speak on.
The preaching, books, prayers, and teachings of God are but the dishes, utensils, bread, and salt that stirs up our appetite for the heavenly feast. There we shall see him as he is, and know as also we are known.
Ah, how I look forward to that great banqueting table that shall stretch for miles to the horizon.
And to think that Jesus himself shall serve us. How I wish I could serve with him.
Thou canst.
How?
By serving his children here below. All helps that we bestow here upon the least of his brethren, he counts as bestowed upon himself. And you can be sure that he is such a one as never forgets a favor.
So supper came up, and after they had given thanks, they partook thereof. First there was the heave shoulder to remind them to be thankful. Then came the wave breast to teach them to offer a sacrifice of praise. Next there came a bottle of wine, fresh from the squeezing and red as blood.
Let the servant pour for everyone, but drink not until I have proposed the toast.
It almost maketh me sad to drink this blood of the grape.
Why, Matthew?
Because our Lord Jesus hath promised never to drink it again until he drinks it new with us in his kingdom.
Oh, thou hast a tender feeling for him then.
Aye, I long to bow before him and give thanks for his great love to me.
Thou shalt in his good time.
Aye.
I believe we are ready, dear host.